You see, on June 19th, 2004, Rietta McPherson from South Africa, her life was picture perfect, a Hollywood story. She's got a wonderful family. She is voted Mrs. South Africa. She's got a wonderful business. Things are perfect. And she, on that day, everything changed. Rietta, what happened?
Yes, sir, this is exactly my life, what you explained. And we had a motor car accident, and my children fell out of the car, and we couldn't find them. And eventually we found my eldest son.
How did you happen to have the accident?
There was a mobile in the road without lights. So as we entered on the highway, the vehicle was standing without lights. So my husband hadn't had a choice. He just tried to swivel out for this vehicle, and then our vehicle starts rolling, and my children fell out. My elderly son had a head injury, and he was in a coma right away. So we took him to hospital. The helicopter took him, and they said that the prognosis was very bad and that eventually there wasn't any hope for him. He had a midbrain brainstem. The right and the left side was blood, and he was damaged very, very severe.
But I understand that God's hand was working in this situation, even at the worst, even at when you found your son. How old was he at the time?
At that stage, he was 12 years old, and as I found him in the bush and I was lying over him, a car came out of the bush to try to avoid the accident, and I jumped up because I knew if I did not do that, the vehicle would hit us. And as I looked into this vehicle's light, my whole body starts shaking. And not as if you're cold, like really shaking. And the next moment, there was a heat on my whole body. And I could feel the heat coming from my head, and it went right through to my whole body. And after the heat, there was the peace, what God spoke in the Word about. And that peace stayed with me from that day till today. And what I had there was eventually what I found out after a couple of months, that this is the moment where Jesus came and he picked my son up and he took him to heaven.
It's now your other son, Josh. I found this fascinating in the book. He was okay, just a few cuts. But Josh, he said Jesus caught him in the air? Explain that.
The first weekend after Aldo was in a coma, so he was in a coma in the hospital, the first weekend I went home, and for the first time, and I held him very close. He was at that stage 2.5 years old, very tiny boy, and his words to me, he was explaining how the vehicle rolls, and he kept on rolling, and he says the next thing, he says, "Mommy," and then Jesus caught me when I fell out the vehicle, and I was like, any mother, I thought, this is cute, you know, this is how we taught our children. Jesus is with us all the time. But I didn't realize the seriousness in this. Today I know that was true.
Now, help me out. There's this accident. They don't offer much hope. Your son has brainstem damage. He's now in a coma. What did the doctor say once he went into the coma, what you could expect?
They really said we can expect the worst and that the organs normally give in. And it was a long time till we had help on the scene, accident scene. So for a brain injury, that is very, very bad. So they said, you know, this is actually a question of time. So the first week passed, and I stayed opposite ICU in this room. And the first week passed, and I went this weekend to Josh to home, and I came back. And I was really looking for hope in people's eyes, in the doctor's eyes. And there was just no hope. Today I know, you know, there is just no other hope than Jesus. If you still have another plan, A, B, C, I tell you, you're wasting your time. The only plan is Jesus Christ and Yeshua, because he is so alive, you see. And I didn't know, I knew Jesus because, I don't know, yeah, but in Africa, you know, you're born in a Christian house, so you're a Christian, but there's such a difference than being a Christian and have an intimate love, passionate relationship with a living God.
You know, that is the thing that I got most out of your book. I mean, the miracles and how God is using your son to communicate literally with the world, his heart. But the thing the book did for me is I understand about passionate intimacy with God, but that's the norm and not the exception. Here in America, we give someone their own television show if they have intimacy with God, but everyone is supposed to have it, and I think we've been lied to.
Amen. For years, and I was really crying about that. The day came when they said to me, they're going to put off the machines. There's no hope. So I ran opposite the ICU there. I stayed in the room, and I fell on my knees, and I cried out to the living God. And I'm 40 years, and I tell you, for the first time in my life, I realized the Word of God says He wants people who call them in spirit and in truth, and that is so true. And so that wasn't my flesh, it was my heart. It was my heart crying out to God, and He spoke to me in a hearable voice. You can hear Him. And the first thing...
In an audible voice.
Absolutely audible. The first thing, and you know, I did a strange thing. I took my coat and I put it over my head. And today I know it was like Moses.
Oh, guess what? Jewish people take the tallit or the prayer shawl and we put it over our head. And many people believe when Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet and pray, what he meant was take the prayer shawl and put it over your head and pray. So you're just being Jewish and you didn't know it.
Yes. I know, and so that I can tell you so many things afterwards, what God told me about that. So this is the way I do it today. And
so you put your coat over your head so you would have privacy to pray?
Yes.
Okay, and what did you do?
I called out to God, and then he answered me and in a loud voice, and he says, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground.
Mm.
And then after that, he said to me, do you believe that Jesus Christ paid the full price? And as a normal Christian, I just said yes. But Sid, I can tell you today, I move around the country and around the world. I see, well, this is me saying this, that I believe only 10% of Christians calling themselves Christians understand the blood of Jesus. You see, because people are so in bondage, people don't understand the blood. People don't understand what Jesus did for them. And Jesus, God saw my heart and he understand that I don't understand the blood of Jesus. So what he did is he showed me in this vision how Christ was on the cross and how he took, you know, all those beats for me. And I cried out to him. I said, Lord, this could not be for me. Do you know who I am and all my iniquities? And this scripture just came in front of me, and I did not know the word that well. And he says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son for those who believe in him. And I was devastated. I knew this was for me. And my life changed the day I found out how much Jesus loved me and how much God loves me. And the faith that I'm walking in today is the only reason why, because I know the love they have for me.
Tell me the revelation you got from the vision about the crucifixion of Jesus.
Yes. After that, Jesus took the last stroke. Then he shout out, he says, it's done. And after that, I saw out of heaven, it came, the veil came down, and it was very, very, very big. No man can ever tear that apart. No man can ever. And then it was torn open.
This was the veil in the temple that they said was rent, and it was rent from top to bottom, and it was too thick for just a man to do that. And so I understand what you're saying from my study of Scripture. You understand from the vision God gave you. Go ahead.
Yes, no man can ever do that. That I know today. And then I was standing on a place where I exactly knew where I were. And that for me, that is strange because I didn't know the Bible that well. But today I know whenever you are in God's presence, you always have first-hand revelation. And that is why the moment I stood there, I knew exactly where I were. I saw the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And then God spoke to me. He says, my child, he says, Jesus paid the full price for you so that you can enter into my presence. Hebrews 4, come to the throne of grace to receive grace. He says, Jesus Christ is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And no man will come to God if it's not through Jesus. And I could see the outer court is the way, the truth, and then the life. And then the scripture came to me, John 10:10, which says, the devil did come to steal, but Jesus came so that you can have life and life in abundance. The Amplified said, till it overflows. You see, and this is what Christians don't understand today. They are seeking God for their hand, and they don't understand the abundant life. The abundant life's got nothing to do with your bank balance. It's got to do with the streams of living water.
And you know, you hit a real area that bothers me. Here in America, it seems like the gospel is almost give to get rather than give to have intimacy with the King of Kings. Listen, we're out of time right now. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast, but she had a revelation on the blood of Jesus that you've got to hear. This book, A Message from God. God himself said this book should be published. It will give you the hunger to take that next move, to have intimacy with God. My guest will get you red hot for the Messiah. She's from South Africa. Her name is Rietta McPherson. On June 19th, 2004, a car was almost hidden from them, and it wasn't moving, and they were about ready to crash into this car, and her husband pulled off the road, and the two sons went flying out of the car. One son was okay. One of the reasons he was okay is later, Rietta found out that Jesus literally caught him. Her youngest son, Joshua, said that he was literally caught in the air. But the older son was so injured. He was on the other side of the road. Rietta, it was dark, and he wasn't crying out. How did you find your second son?
He was already in a coma at that stage where I found him. I was standing where the vehicle was, and I was crying out to Lord. I said, Lord, help me. And I was just praying the blood of Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit just guided me. And I just went, and my husband said he would never be that far. So I ran opposite the highway to the other side, and I found him just right there. So this is how faithful God is.
Oh, okay, now on yesterday's broadcast, you're in the hospital, your son's a coma. They say he'll never be normal. He had brain injury. And did they say he'd come out of the coma? Well, what was the exact prognosis?
You know, they gave the brain injury. They say how bad it is, and for the extreme bad, they say this is extreme brain injury. And then you know this is bad. It's just a question of time. And they will always tell you, you cannot stay with a brain injury. And so you can never know with a brain injury. So we were just waiting for that time.
Okay, but they prepared you for him to be in a vegetative state.
Oh, yes. To tell you the truth, they actually prepared us so that he can die any moment. So it wasn't only the vegetative state, it was dead. Well, they said we're not sure if he was going to make it.
You were desperate. You didn't even want to leave the hospital because you were afraid that he would die and you wouldn't be there. And so you take your coat and you put it over your head and you do a very Jewish thing. We believe it was a Talit, a prayer shawl, when Jesus said, go into your closet and pray. So you pull the coat over your head so that you have privacy to pray, and you had a vision. Out of curiosity, had you ever had a vision before?
Oh, never. This was the first time. So today I know it's not for elderly ladies at 86. I know it's for everybody.
So you have this vision, but it's on the blood of Jesus. And on yesterday's broadcast, you actually saw the crucifixion. You saw the veil being rent in the temple, everything that, and you didn't even understand these things because although you were a churchgoer, you were into your career. You were Mrs. South Africa. You had that title, and you had a successful business. And then God starts speaking to you about the blood of Jesus.
Yes. He first took me into the outer court, and there he spoke to me about my works. Because me and Charity, we had a good walk in life, and I thought charity was the way. But Jesus is the way, you see. Works can't get you there. And he explained to me that all our works will one day come in front of him. Some build on the foundation, which is Jesus, with gold and emerald stones, but some with grass and hay. And he says to me, all these things are going to come through the fire, and then we'll see, you know, what's left. You can just go to Daniel 7. You can see what's the throne like. You can go to Revelation, see these eyes fired. You know, he is fire. And I know today God is a holy fire. And then after that, he took me into the holy place. And in the holy place, I saw a huge bath. I didn't know it then, but I know it today. The young Jewish bride, when she go to marry, she have to go to the mikvah.
Yes, that's where we get baptism from, by the way, the mikvah.
Oh, all right. So whatever happened to her beforehand, if she went through the mikvah, she is clear and clean and holy. And then there, God spoke to me, he says, you need the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. You need to be washed by the blood of Jesus daily. And he says to me, the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can ever set you free. You need my blood. So I went into the blood, and as a butterfly, I came out, and all the rest stayed in the blood. And then the scripture from Hebrews came to me, my blood blots out all your sins and iniquities. And I was free. I tell you, I was like an eagle. And then I realized this is why Christians are still in bondage, because they don't understand the blood.
And the thing that's so amazing is, would you say the church you went to was a church that taught how to be born again?
Absolutely. You know, there wasn't another church to go, because this is the best you can get. I mean, this is, you know, charismatic and everything. But there's a difference, you see. I was in the church, but I had Logos knowledge. And Logos knowledge just gives works. But if you have Rhema word, which is spirit, that gives you an intimate love relationship with the King.
So you're in your prayer closet. You have this vision. Tell me about a woman that came to you shortly in the hospital that identified herself as a prophetess. What did she say to you?
Yeah, she came to me and she said she's prophetess, Teresa. And I didn't understand anything about prophets. So I said to her, the first thing I said, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. But I was so drawn to her by the love of Jesus that came out of her, that when I found myself, I was next to her. And she starts prophesying things about my life that I needed to repent. And I knew then she was so correct. And you see, this is why Jesus wants us all to daily die in ourselves. That's why Paul says you need to daily die in yourself. It's daily go through the blood, daily die in self. And I had to repent because, like the Lord says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, so repent. And the repent thing is, the other day I was in a church and God said to me, before you start, let them repent. Because the Holy Spirit cannot flow when people don't repent.
Now, what did she say to you about, do you really believe your son will be healed? Explain that.
She just said to me, do you believe Christ can raise up your child from death? I said, no, I tell you the truth. The doctor says, he's like, you know, there's no hope. She says, yes, I know, that's what the doctor says, but do you believe in Jesus Christ? And what I realized that day is I did not know God. I did not know his character. You know, when Moses had to trust him, God said to him one word. He says, I'm a God of mercy. I've heard about that God, but I did not know him. And that's why people have to go back to the character of God. And, yeah, I did not know him. So she took me back and...
Are you telling me you could have gone to a Billy Graham rally, said a prayer with Billy, and still not known God?
Oh, yeah, many people can do that.
Now, Rietta, this prophetess asked you a question about your son. What was that?
She asked me if I truly believe that Jesus can heal my son and he will be alive again. And I really didn't believe it. Because I did not know Jesus. You cannot believe someone if you don't know him. And so I said no. And she was asking me, have you heard about the man that was raised from the dead? And this was a man from Nigeria. So I haven't heard about that. I said to her, if this is true, why haven't the whole world heard about this man? And she said, but this is true.
This guy actually was in a mortuary, and they embalmed him, and he still came back to life. Now, that's pretty wild, but go ahead.
And then I also realized I don't understand what faith is about. But the reason why I did not understand faith was because I did not understand Christ's love for me. And to take that back, you did not understand the blood. You did not understand Calvary, because that is how much he loved us. And if you understand his love for you, you can believe in him. And that's why you can give your whole life to him, everything you have. And then as you walk this road to me, I just grasp something. And then, after this visitation that God gave me of himself and Christ, I really, truly believed how much he loved me. To tell you the truth, I realized that day, it doesn't matter if my son was dead or alive. It wasn't about that. It's all about the Lord. It's all about God. It's all about Yeshua. And I knew he wants me to know how much he loved us. You see, he didn't need to save my son's life to show me how much he loved me. He did that already on Calvary. This is the best.
Rietta, why did you write this book, A Message from God?
My son went to heaven, and he came back with a message. And the message was every day the same. Mommy, you have to go and tell the world that Jesus is alive. Go and do that till I can do it myself. And all the writings every day was about Jesus and what he saw in heaven and the message, what God has for all of us. And the message is, to tell you the truth, is that Jesus is alive and he wants your life.
And what was the first message your son gave you? Because he started writing these messages from God. What was the first one?
I can't really think the first one, but I remember he says that he saw children in heaven. And he gave us the addresses of the two children he saw. And I really, this was just one too much for me. I did not understand this. And he gave the addresses. And the words he says is to this parents, your children do not want to come back. They are so happy in heaven with Jesus. But they want you to give your life to him because you are not ready.
He also said to you in the book, you talk about this, he said he would not have returned if you didn't give him to God. How did he know that you gave him to God after the accident?
Yeah, I asked him, how do you know that I surrendered him to God? And he says, when I asked him that, he says, remember the accident when you was laying over my body, Jesus came and he picked me up and he took me to heaven. And there he was with Jesus all the time. And this is where the messages came from. He was writing a letter to his friends saying, thank you that you prayed for me. He says, Jesus showed me how much you trust him. And I want to tell you, he is so proud of you, of your faith.
Let me tell you, Mishpocha, chills will go up and down. There's such an anointing on this book. It really is a message from God. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. You would have thought she would have been most of her life. She was raised in one of the best Christian churches in her area in South Africa. She's had a wonderful family, a wonderful job. She was selected Mrs. South Africa. And God spoke to you one day about a mosaic. What did he say to you?
Yes. Me and my family, we were in New York, and we went to the United Nations building, and there I saw this great mosaic. And you won't believe, I asked Aldo, I said to him, this is before the accident, I said to him, come and stand here, let me take a photo of you. But today, when I look at that mosaic, it's very prophetic, because it's all the different nations, people in the world. So I took the photo, and as I took the photo, God spoke to me. And this was a rhema word, because it was in my spirit. And he said to me, all the broken pieces of your life is nothing more than a beautiful mosaic of your future. So I bent down, and I wrote this word down. And, yeah, the night of the accident scene, as I was lying on the highway, those same words came back to me. As I was looking around and all the pieces of the car, and I heard the same words, all the broken pieces of your life was nothing more than a beautiful mosaic of your future. And today I can tell you only the Holy Spirit alone can help you to draw new mosaic.
Now the Lord showed you there were several options when your mosaic or the picture of your life is shattered. In your case, it was shattered because your son is supposed to be a vegetable. He's in a coma in the hospital. Your husband is blaming himself for the accident, although it wasn't his fault. And that perfect, picture-perfect life of yours is all shattered. And what did the Holy Spirit show you they do with their shattered mosaic or their shattered life?
Yes, God showed me that you have a plate. We all are busy painting a plate of your life at this moment. Some people's plate is just brown and beige. You know, our mother says, anything, my child, as long as it's brown and beige. And the other plate is colorful and busy and full of stuff. But one day in your life, this plate just drop out of your hand. And I had an idea that this plate will drop at the age of 80, 85. But I did not understand and realize that death was breathing in my neck. So yeah, then I was explaining that how those plates drop. And because of trauma, we all do the same thing. We kneel, we bend our knees, and you take all the pieces together. And then life is about choices, because you see, God created us to make choices in life. And then you, the first guy, take all those broken pieces by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You draw a new picture of your life, and you take all these broken pieces and you create a new beautiful mosaic of your future. But the other person, he just stayed in those broken pieces. And after a year, as you pass, you will find blood and bitterness and brokenness, because you know you have to make a choice. Are you going to stand in God's power? Where you can stand in your own bitterness and agony.
See, what we humans try to do is fix it ourselves. And if we can't fix that mosaic of our life ourselves, our family is falling apart, our finances are falling apart, our job is falling apart, our health is falling apart, and so we just sit there and have a pity party after we've done our prayers and nothing has happened. But you say there is another choice. And repeat that statement the Holy Spirit gave you.
Yes, the choice is that we have to stand up and give everything to the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit, as you give your life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit takes your life over, and He comes and He draws a new picture of your life, and He comes and He helps you to take all those broken pieces and to put it together again. And believe me, sometimes it takes time to keep this one part to stick, but God's got time. So then we create a new mosaic of our lives.
Yeah, but here in America, we call it instant America. And when it doesn't happen quickly, we say, well, I guess it's not going to happen. And we just give up and we go back to with this bitterness and feeling sorry for ourselves. And I love the example in the book. We take the pieces and we try to put it together and the glass starts cutting us.
Oh, yeah. And then you're bitter and you are full of blood. And at the end of the day, you're blaming God. And then it's God's fault and everything, because as you said, we're living in a two-minute noodles time. You know, everything is quick fix. But I've learned from that day on, God spoke to me once. He said to me, are you willing to be ruled by the word of God? Or are you going to be ruled by your emotions and your situation? He says to me, choose. So I said to him, Lord, I'm a woman who dare to take you on your word. What that means is that you just need to confirm what's already in there. You just need to speak it all over.
How can two walk together unless they be agreed? You say you want to walk with God, then that's what you're saying to me. We must be agreed with His word.
Oh, yes. Because, you know, with this experience that I had with God, God said clearly to me, always remember, my child, it's not about you on this earth. And this is the problem. We are only seeking God for our own. And God's plan is much, much, much greater than you can ever imagine. And then God said to me, focus on me, not on the situation. And I started doing that.
And let me ask you a question. You could have looked at your son. He's blind in one eye. He's not able to walk properly. He's not able to talk properly. He doesn't even write properly. He's laying around in his bed. And you could really feel sorry for yourself. So the Lord said, it's not about you. It's about Him and focus on Him. What do you mean by that? How do you focus on Him?
I did not understand this scripture, what we so many times says, as in heaven, let it be on earth. We don't understand what we're saying there. What it says is, let heaven come to earth. Let walk out into an open heaven. And then one day God spoke to me. He says, as Abraham, he was staying in a tent. So if you're in your situation and in your tent, you focus in that. But God said to Abraham, come out of your tent. Come up. Look up into the stars. Look at the stars. Count the stars. So God said to me, come out of your situation. Focus on me. Focus on the open heaven. And yeah, this is what I started doing, focusing only on God. And then God spoke to me one day. He says, the word of God is the only life you can ever speak. Because God is life. God is the word. And then he took me to Ezekiel 37, where he spoke to Ezekiel, and he said to Ezekiel, he says to him, do you see those dry bones? Go and speak life into that. God is saying to you today, do you see your dead marriages? Do you see your dead bodies? Do you see your dead lives? Go and speak life into that. You see, it's one thing to think you can breathe. That is not life. Breath is not life. If you don't have the Ruach, breath of God in your spirit, you are dead.
Tell me about how God began to heal your son. He's blind in one eye. What happened?
He was totally blind in the one eye, totally. And then one night after the medical people left our house, he was lying next to my bed on a mattress. And then he woke me and he was trying to write something and he said, did you see Jesus? I said, no. I said, I had a dream about him. He says, no, he was right here. He touched my eye. And I said, well, I was so excited. I said, and can you see now? And he just shook his head. He says, no. He showed me no. And I put my head in the cushion and I cried out. I said, Lord, I need a miracle now. Now. He says, no, my child, you need faith now. So a week passed and I came back one night from a late flight. And as I walked into the room, he was already sleeping, but that blind eye was still opening. And you have to put salve in to close the eye at night, and it was opened. So I bent down and I prayed quiet in my spirit. And the next thing, I blew him a kiss with my mouth, and he blew me one back. And I was like, I said to him out loud, can you see me? And he just showed with his thumb. He showed yes. And he was writing. He says, remember I told you he was here? And you know, sir, this is now, it's not even a couple of months ago, we took him back to the doctor, and his eyes was 100%, but he still used glasses. But now, no glasses.
Mm.
And I cried out, I said, Lord, thank you. He says, you know what? You learned to focus on me and not on his eyes. You learned to focus on me, not on the way he walks or talks. He's in my hands.
So when Jesus said, keep your eyes on me and I will keep you in perfect peace, I would imagine that is good advice and your advice to anyone who's got you had an impossible problem in your hands. It must have been mind-blowing when your son started writing messages from heaven, and some of the messages had to do with dreams you had. I mean, he knew what was going on in your life. He started prophesying to people. But what did he say you were supposed to do with your life, and what did he say God told him in heaven he was supposed to do with his life?
Well, God spoke to me a couple of times about how he wants my life, and I did not understand that. But afterwards, he came, when he starts writing, he says, Mommy, Jesus wants your life. And at that time, I gave my life to Jesus. And he keep on writing, Jesus wants you to go and tell the world that he is alive. And I know this is what he also is going to do one day, because he keep on writing, I am going to tell the world that Jesus is alive. I am going to tell the world the gospel. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to tell them what I saw. And this is his only passion, his only passion. And when I just explained to someone the other day, when he starts talking, my little Josh said to me, is this the only words he can say? Because the only words he came out of his mouth was holy, holy, holy is he, holy is he. I did not understand, and God showed me every time we say holy, God reveals another level of his holiness. and look at Revelation.
Listen, we're out of time today, but there's so many amazing messages that your son has written from God, and the name of the book is A Message from God. I'm going to tell you what this book will do to you. It'll cause you to want to sell out to God's kingdom, and that's what you want. So you will have the intimacy with God, which is normal. Now, what happened to my guest shouldn't happen to anyone, but as a result of what happened to her, she's fulfilling her destiny, and she's helping so many other people fulfill their destiny. You see, on June 19th, 2004, she was involved in an automobile accident. She found her son, Aldo, on the other side of the road. He was had brain damage. He was expected to be a vegetable. He was in a coma for a number of days. And during that period, she literally put a coat over her head and went into her prayer closet. And as a result, she made contact with the living God. In the meantime, her son had left his body and went to heaven. Rietta McPherson, what did he see in heaven?
The first thing that struck me the most was one night he was, after he started speaking, he was explaining to me, he can't cry 3.5 years after the accident, he still can't cry. He just makes his voices and we know it's crying. And he was lying on his head, on his arms, and I asked him, why are you crying? And he was explaining to me, he says, Mommy, in heaven, there's a big golden bridge. When you go over the bridge, there's a huge, huge door. He says, your pools are very small. Those are huge. He says, but there are people standing out there and they're crying. I says, why are they crying? He says, because they cannot enter. And I ask him, enter into what? So he looked at me. I would never, ever forget that look with his little one eye. He looked at me and he says, don't tell me you don't know. And I said, I don't know. He says, Mommy, there's a wedding feast and everybody is not ready to enter. And I was shocked. I tell you, I was shocked. And every morning he was writing long messages, but that following morning he only wrote this one word. He says, Matthew 25. So he left for school, and as he left, I ran to the Bible, and I was still, you know, new into the Word, so I ran and I looked, checked, and there it was about the 10 virgins. And I immediately knew God is saying something to me. So I fell on my knees and I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is a very difficult road. I'm not going to walk this road, getting there, and I'm not ready. Please tell me the character of the bride. And I really stayed on my knees, because the problem is so many times I'm so thankful for God I got a second chance, because I've never ever taught my children right. I told them to say their prayers, jump into bed and sleep. This is not a love intimate relationship. You have to wait on God. How can you expect God to speak to you if you turn your back or go to sleep? That's why people say, God don't speak to me. You don't wait on him. So I waited on God, and I had a vision where God showed me my whole life I was busy with myself, but he wants me to be one with him. And this is only one thing that he said. And then another thing he once said to me is, he was standing outside and he says, Mommy, Jesus says we are the Laodicea Church. And I was saying, my husband actually says, what is the Laodicea Church?
That's like the last church spoken about in the book of Revelation, which figures that's where we're at, the last church.
Yes, and he was explaining then about the last church, and he was saying to me, he says, Mommy, Jesus is fire. He says, cold as ice or hot as fire. He says, choose, Mommy. And I realized, you see, lukewarm, because we know the truth, so we stay lukewarm. We think we know everything. God wants you to have the full fire, the blazing holy fire, the blue fire, the hot fire. God wants his fire in our lives. And we only can get that if we're pushing in into the Holy of Holies in his presence. That is where you receive it. And you can only receive it on your knees. If you read in the book of Mark, the lady with the issue of blood, She was walking and people said to her, "Did you hear the Messiah is in town?" And she had to push in into the Messiah's presence. And then she touched only a little bowl of his coat at the bottom. To touch that on the bottom of someone, you have to be very low on your knees, very humble on your knees. And the moment her faith touched him, there was life. You see, because he is in life. When you get in, when you entered into God's presence, you will find miracles, signs, and wonders. You only get that in God's presence. And we have to be taught how to press in into God's presence, because there's so much more than only being born again. There's the fullness that Jesus Christ, this Yeshua, came for. He came so that we can have life and life in abundance till it overflows.
You know, I want to read this because in the book you talk about the Laodicea church, and in your own words, you rephrase Revelations chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, because this is the last church that is mentioned in the book of Revelation. That's where we are now. Laodicea, you are a spineless, useless bunch. You want to serve God, but refuse to give up on mammon. You tithe when it's convenient, attend church Sunday after Sunday so that others can see your piety. You're so religious and always eager to help a good cause, focusing on human rights and tolerance instead of on me. You are always looking for happiness in some worldly pleasure. And then you fool yourselves into thinking that you can bribe me with what little time you can spare for me. You are self-centered and refuse to change. Well, this is the message that your son, Aldo, got from God when he was talking to you about the golden bridge that went to heaven, and he was so sad because a wedding was going on, and there were people that couldn't get in. What did the people look like that could not get in?
He was explaining in his words, he says, they had sand-colored ropes on, sand-colored clothes, sand-colored robes. And I did not understand what is sand-colored. Why would that be? I thought something like beige. And then one morning he took the chauffeur. He went out on the balcony and he went to the north, to the south, the east, and the west. He blew the chauffeur. I said, "Why are you doing this? It was 5 o'clock in the morning." He says, "Mommy, Jesus said to me last night, I have to start wakening the bride because he's coming."
And, of course, when you read Matthew 25 about the 10 virgins, if you want to, it is a parable, so you can't be, you know, really exact, but half were wise and half were foolish, and all virgins are people that say they believe in Jesus. He's saying that at least half of the bride is foolish because they're going to miss the wedding. Is that what you believe Aldo was trying to tell you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then he was writing the other day to me, he says, well, this is on my website, only a couple of weeks ago he did this. He says, "Mommy, Jesus spoke to me last night about his word and he's coming again." He says, "Which is going to be soon, soon, very, very soon." Do you know that, Mommy? Only those who lay down their lives and accept Jesus Christ is going to be the bride.
And by the way, get this. He didn't say only those that accept Jesus Christ will be the bride. He said only those that lay down their life and accept Jesus Christ. That's not a popular message. You know that, Rietta.
Oh, absolutely. But this is what Jesus said to Peter when he saw Peter after he stood up. He said he got him on the mountain, and the first words Jesus said to Peter was, "Peter, do you love me?" Because you see, it's all about love. This whole thing is all about love. And this is where we missed it, because we have so much pride in us. And he says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, even though I made so many mistakes." And this is the gospel. Doesn't matter what you did. Peter did a worse thing. And Jesus said to him, "Do you love me?" Because it's about the love. And he says, "Yes, Lord." He says, "Well, deny yourself." This is what God said to me, deny yourself. He says it to you. He says it to you, America. Deny yourself. It's time to leave your pride. It's time to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me.
Tell me what, I know the book is new. The title is A Message from God. Tell me what feedback you're getting. What are people saying that read the book?
It's absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely. It's just wonderful how people, the mails I get, people, just one word, my life changed. I understand the urgency. I understand my lukewarm life. I understand I have to give everything or leave it. Because you see, Christ don't want us to give him our worst, the last bit of your night, the last bit before you go to bed. Christ wants your life. And your life means you are the air I breathe, a whole new life. You're a new creature. And I can tell you today, I'm a new creature. I'm new because God's breath is inside of me, and I know that, and I can see his hand. I can see what he's doing. And my problem in my life was, and all the emails I get is, because I'm very hard on this one, that people have another God than God. My child was my God. And our protocol is not correct, and that's why we struggle to enter into God's presence, because we have another God. Many times it's our children.
You know, there are very few books I would say I would read a second time, but yours is one of them. I feel God's presence. Has anyone else said that to you when I read this book?
Oh, yes, and I can tell you why. It was, I've never ever said that, actually. I just felt it in my heart to tell. I was talking in a church one day, and somebody said to me, you know, I think your son is the false prophet the Bible was talking about. So I was absolutely devastated. I was devastated. So I went to God and I cried. I said, Lord, I walk this walk of faith. I don't want to go like a Gideon and put something out to prove you. I trust you with my life. But just before, it was 2 days before the book went to the printers. I said, Lord, I don't want to be responsible for millions of people if this is not 100% you. And I cried. I cried. I tell you, that night I cried. I could not sleep. And then I had God came with a whole Shekinah glory.
My guest, Rietta McPherson from South Africa, had it made in life. She won Mrs. South Africa. She was a spokeswoman for South Africa, speaking all over. Her business was prospering. Her family was prospering. She went to one of the best churches in town, a born-again church. But she'll tell you, until this experience, she did not have intimacy with God. And she knows the difference between religion and intimacy. She was in an auto accident, and her son was left to be a vegetable in a coma. And she desperately cried out to God and made contact with God. Many miracles have happened to her son. The greatest was he actually went to heaven during this time and was given messages of what to do for his life. And he started being prophetic. He knew things about people. He knew the dreams that his mother was having from God. And he began to prophesy. He began to write. And because he still had the crippled body, he was blind, and Jesus came and gave him his vision back, verified by doctors, and he's in process of being completely healed. But he writes these messages down, and his mother, Rietta McPherson, put this together in a book. It's called A Message from God. But the day before it was supposed to be published, she got some hate gossip that this isn't from God. And she said, God, this is the last thing I want to do is dishonor you. My whole purpose is to live for you. You've got to show me the truth. So you were desperately praying to God. And what happened, Rietta?
That night I just woke up with this. The whole room was glory white. It was a white that we don't understand. If you put your hand in, you won't see your hand. It's like just glory. And I realized this is Jesus. And I was calling out. I say, Jesus, is this you? Jesus, is this you? And he says, yes. I forgot all about the book that I was so desperate to know. My first words to him was, just tell me, why are you so good to me? And his words back were, because you love me. And this was for me so amazing. And then I realized that I want him to talk to me about the book. So I said, Lord, the book. And he said to me, give me back the book. So I saw in my spirit how I gave the book back into his hands. So he took the book. He blew his spirit in the book. He gave the book back to me. He says, you go and do what you need to do. And then he said, he still said a couple of things about our ministry and how it will go all around the world and he will open up doors. And because he heard my heart that I'm in Africa, how am I ever going to do that? And he just said to me, I will take care. His words was, you build my house, I'll build yours, and I'll take care of what you need to do. And then the next morning, I woke up and I was like, really, I was jumping up and down because what happened? I was so ready to let this book go. And then Aldo was writing. His words were, what happened last night in this house? Because Jesus was here. And I was like, how's this? And he kept on writing and he says, Jesus says, thank you that we are obedient to do the book. And he says, the book is not the ultimate. The word is the ultimate. He says, but this book has his breath in and it will change people's lives.
Tell me a few specific people, the reaction they had when they read the book, A Message from God.
I spoke one morning at a business breakfast with men. And the one gentleman, he read the book and he phoned me the next morning. He says, I could not put the book down. He says, I've started and I've finished it. He says, you won't believe I do not read. He says, but I could not put the book down. And as I read, I felt the Holy Spirit. He says, and eventually I was on my knees. And I said to the Lord, I'm not going to stand up here before you touch me. He says, and I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And this guy was a very, very, well, he still is, a very rich man. And he went downstairs to the galley and he took all his wines, very old wines. I mean, I didn't say that in the book, but he just took it all out and he threw out all his alcohol at the house, everything. And today he is such a blessing to many people.
Now, the thing that's so amazing is that in your country, South Africa, as well as in the United States, usually it's the women in the forefront of Christianity, and many men take a back seat. But men seem to be reading your book from cover to cover, and their lives are being transformed.
The mails that I get is so many men, because I think if this is a child, a boy, and men can relate if that could be their child. And then we had another man from Namibia. It's a country just next to South Africa. I was speaking there, and he got the book. He climbed into a tree on his farm. He read the book, finished the book in the tree, and he said to the Lord, I'm not getting off this tree till you touched me. I want what she has. And God says, this is your life that you want to give me. He says, yes, Lord, take my life. So he got off the tree. He phoned us and sent us a mail, and he says, my life changed. And this is the purpose of the book. God wants our life. God wants to be your God. He wants to be your everything, your first love. He says in Revelation, this is the thing, you left your first love. And people have so many other gods, and your own life can be your own God. God wants him to be first.
What practical steps would you see someone doing? First, they have to read the book because the anointing of God is on the book to motivate someone to want to do this. Then after they read the book, what practical steps can they take to go from the intellectual to the experiential?
I think it is to really seek God. The word says, those who seek me will find me. And God is spirit, so we have to stop thinking with our logic. We have to stop. We have to think heaven. God says, think about the things in heaven. We have to stop thinking about the things on earth and let this be our God. We have to really push deeper and deeper into God. And the Holy Spirit inside of you will open it up. You just need to be open. This is the big thing, because we are arguing and we are thinking, and it's all about us, because we are so great and we are so self-controlled. God wants us to put everything down. The control freaks, all those people, put it down. Invite God in. This is not a spooky thing. It's very. I tell you, the supernatural realm is more tangible than me and you being here on earth. The supernatural is part of Christ, because God is supernatural. You just need to the first thing I would always say is bend your two knees, because in the spiritual realm, you will be noticed with a humble heart.
You also talk in your book about being still before God. What difference does that make?
To be still, I mean, there's a place for everything, to speak to God, to tell him your heart, but then there's a place to be still. And I believe in intimacy, there's not much words. It's just love. When you get into intimacy, when a husband and wife get into intimacy, there's not a lot of discussing and arguments and why, Lord, why. It's just be still and know that I'm God. And close your eyes. Look at him. Visualize him. Hear him. He says, I'm in the breeze of the wind. I'm around you. I think we have to just be trying to get quiet. But life is so busy that we don't get quiet anymore. And people are used to give God their last minutes of night. Give God your best time.
You know, I'm reminded of something God spoke to you when you had an example of a mosaic at the UN, and it was like all people's lives, and there's a mosaic or a plate of everyone's life, and at various times it breaks, like in your case, it broke. And God said to you, all broken pieces of life are nothing more than a beautiful mosaic of your future. That's if you trust God to put it back together, rather than you putting it back together. Comment on that.
I cannot do it myself. I tell you, if this road, I understand today how people say, I've lost it, I cannot do it. This is just too much, because it is too much. You cannot do it. The way we walk this walk was not about my own strength. This was God in me, because it's not me living, but Christ in me. It's not my strength, but Christ's strength. We cannot do it by your own strength. And I tell you, I can say one thing. He gave me the scripture. He says, whatever you ask and want in life, if your life is mine, he says, far more than you can ever dream or pray for, I will do for you. And in ICU, I stood in front of that bed, and God says, in ICU to me, he says, this word was go around the world. And this is what I'm doing now. You know, this word is in America. This is not me. This is Christ. I could not do it.
I know that he wants this book in the hands of everyone listening. And it's not just men. Women need this desperately, too. For a donation of $16, let me send you her book, A Message from God. Shabbat, I want to bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his completeness, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yibarechech Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. Ve'asem lecha.